Welcome back, folks, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We're so blessed to have as our very special guest, Mr. Paul McGuire, author of 28 books, a former talk show host, radio talk show host, speaker, evangelist, just one of the most intelligent people I know. As a matter of fact, he's now named honorary resident professor at the Hagman and Hagman College of Knowledge, University of Greater Understanding here in our venue, and I just want to thank him. So, I mean, you're listening to some doctorate level truths being espoused here. Before we get back to Paul, I want to mention that one of the things that we deal with every day is stress. One of the things that we deal with every day is mental cloudiness. This is us now. How do we get around that? Well, the music of King David, WholeTonesLive.com, understanding how music can, which is one of life's greatest pleasures, understanding how that power works. Music's got the power to bring a tear to your eye or quiet your racing mind. It's got the power to clear your mind, and studies have shown the power to heal. And it's been used throughout the ages to treat things like depression, to create energy, but yet to induce sleep, to relieve chronic pain, to reduce stress, and even cure diseases. Musician, author Michael Terrell created Whole Tones, the healing frequency music projects. Now, this is not New Age. This is strictly biblically based. These frequencies were studied in the music of King David and believed to have astounding healing effects. Folks, now you can benefit, as we have, from this revitalized ancient healing music therapy simply by listening daily to the music in the comfort of your own home. We know how stressed you can get. We know the fact that we're overwhelmed on a daily basis, but when you have this playing in the background, for example, and we know how frequencies, as a matter of biblical principle and physics, can affect your mood and affect your affect every aspect of your life. And again, I'm not talking some New Age, you know, foo-foo stuff. No, this is biblically based. And of course, talk to Steve Quayle too, and Steve had mentioned about how the Nazis even studied frequencies, but for not so altruistic purposes. Well, here's the bottom line, folks. You can support our show, and you can go to WholeTonesLive.com and get a free sample of this soothing, relaxing, revitalizing musical tones, the music. If you go to WholeTonesLive.com right now, you can download a free sample. But once you hear this, and we have many people who have sent us emails and postal mail letters saying, you know, I run a daycare, for example, and wow, what a change in the behavior of the children. Think about that. Those of you who work at or own daycare centers, think about that. Investigate this. We are getting report after report after report of the successes of this music. And as a matter of fact, we have a good friend of ours who has had trouble sleeping, I think, for the last, I don't know, half a century. At least that's hearing from her. And she has used this successfully in the background to ease her into sleep, or to create that sleep, restful sleep. So, WholeTonesLive.com. That's the website. Try it out, check it out, and certainly you get the DVD set. Author Greg Jackson, for example, talks about it as well. And so many other people have benefited by it. WholeTonesLive.com. That's with the W. That's W-H-O-L-E, TonesLive.com. If you're watching via YouTube, right there is the website. If it looks anything different than that, well, you're in the wrong place. It's WholeTonesLive.com. That's WholeTonesLive.com. You won't be sorry. Our guest is Paul McGuire. Before the break, he was talking about he was talking about the about Willis Harmon and directed SRI study, Stanford Research Institute study, and I had thought of this. You know, when we look at the bigger picture of things, And this is what we're doing tonight. There's the problem, and then there's the solution. And then, of course, Paul McGuire is writing about both, and with emphasis on solution. But, folks, I just want to remind people, you know, that the Tavistock, and we speak about this often, the Tavistockian mind-bending policies that, which promoted the counterculture as a powerful weapon against Christian civilization. Well, this shaped the way things are today, or this brought us to where we are today. And Paul McGuire has talked extensively on our program about the counterculture, about Aldous Huxley, about the Tavistock Institute, about, and few people will admit this publicly, but you know, Newt Gingrich, oh, that conservative, right? Well, promoting books, for example, The Third Wave, Alvin Toffler's 1970 Future Shock, to change the way we think of life. And I'll say this one last thing. The 1972 Club of Rome, they have a report titled Limits to Growth. It's an extreme presentation of the same general thesis of the consequences of the end of the Christian paradigm and the rise of this Malthusian age, if you will, this age of Aquarius, to take its place. And I had mentioned Limits to Growth. Well, it's a scientific fraud. It's based on systems analysts models that promulgates or its promulgators have rejected the fundamental concept of science itself, and of course Christianity in total. And of course, before the break, Willis Harmon, the directed SRI study was published. It asserts that there are images of man, 19 to be exact. Bottom line here, arbitrary assaults and arbitrary assaults, lies against Christianity. And folks, this is all to bring in it's all an assault on Christianity. Go ahead, Joe.
No, I was just going to say, you know, you said that a conservative. I was going to ask you if you were using the government's interchangeable definition lexicon that they use for
really. Yes. Well, Paul, thanks for holding, and go ahead and take it, sir.
Sure. You know, Willis Harmon, and we were talking during the break, he referred to his book, Changing Images of Man. And I thank you for inviting me to be a professor of your school. I take that as an honor because I have been a professor at Christian universities and seminaries teaching Bible prophecy. And sadly to say, at most of the PhDs that I've talked to at different Christian colleges and schools, and it should not be the case, but this is the case, they are for the most part completely unaware of the type of things that we've discussed on tonight's program, the names, the dates, and they should be totally aware. In other words, anyone going to a Christian college or a university should be taught this, because this track of assault, which has been planned since the 1800s to take down Christianity and replace it with a New Age occultic religion, isn't a conspiracy theory. It's a fact. I mean, you could pack a room with documentation from credible sources. And the credible sources, by the way, are the documents of the writers themselves. They published openly what they were going to do. You don't have to dig in some weird place. You read H.G. Wells or Aldous Huxley or whatever. They said out in the open what they were going to do. But it's very sad that men of God who have been charged to be watchmen on the walls of Jerusalem, and that would include, you know, Christian leaders, especially those that teach in schools and academia, and pastors, never teach their students or the people of God the reality of and the nature of the dangers that they face. They allow them to be naked and led to the slaughter, and God isn't pleased with that. I know that God is not pleased with this, because you see, the enemy, I mean the spiritual enemy, has been able to take the land because of the unfaithfulness of those who he appointed to stand in the gap to be watchmen and to warn the people. And I believe that's one of the reasons God raises up programs like yours, because you're acting as watchmen. By the way, I'm excited to be speaking at the prophecy conference coming up. The date, I'm looking for the date.
Here the Watchman conference, so is what you're referring to?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I blanked out here.
It's March 18th, correct?
Right.
The starting date.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
And I just want to encourage, there's a lot of great speakers speaking at the conference. You guys will be there. My message, my opening message is on the 18th, earlier in the day. I think I'm the kickoff speaker. So I just want to encourage people to actually attend physically the conference. If they can't attend, then they can sign up for live streaming. But I want to encourage them to physically attend because, you know, the various speakers that speak there, they minister and they have the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and you get to receive that anointing of the Holy Spirit. I believe it happens when you're in the physical presence with other believers. And I have a prophetic message that I'm going to deliver, and I just don't want people coming up to me and saying, well, gee, I wish I knew what time you were speaking, and I got here too late. So you need to come early, and when I say early, get there early. Otherwise, you can take advantage of the other fine speakers, but if you want to hear the message that the Lord has given me, you got to show up on time. I don't know how else to say that, but it happens all the time. People go, oh, you know, they'll get there afterwards. Well, get there on time, and you can go to their website or the Hagman & Hagman website to get the time and everything of the conference and the location, or my website. Also, I'm speaking at a whole bunch of conferences. If they simply go to my website, paulmcguire.us, they can see where I'm speaking and when. And then on March, I'm spacing out here, March 3rd to 5th in Brooksville, Florida, which is near Tampa, I'm speaking at a Bible prophecy conference. So if you're in the Florida area, you can catch me there. And one other thing, if I might, and that is I'm leading a tour to Israel, April 17th to April 28th. And if you've never been to Israel or Jerusalem, come and join me, and you can find out about that at the website. We have a supernatural assignment to go to Israel. I won't get into the specifics of that right now, but they can find out about the tour to Israel April 17th to the 28th. Anyway, back to what we were talking about. So here we are. This is, again, I've never had a burden greater than this in my entire life. I mean, the Lord has given me burdens about different things all the time, but I have an intensity of a burden from the Holy Spirit regarding this year 2016. And there are many others who have that burden, and there are many others who have written about it and spoken about it. Even people who are secular analysts understand the importance of 2016 and 2017. We have a presidential election, which is extremely important, but we're making decisions that are going to affect where we go as a nation. And the one thing that I've been doing in the research for this book and really praying over, agonizing in prayer, it's like giving birth. I believe that there is a false pessimism that has been erected in the minds of believers. And I'm going to use the biblical word stronghold. We're taught in the Word of God that we're to tear down strongholds in our mind. For the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the tearing down of strongholds. Now, what a stronghold is, in the simplest definition, it's a satanic argument or a satanic belief system that is erected in our minds by the powers of darkness. So it's a belief system that is a stronghold, and it's a stronghold because it prevents us from seeing the truth, or it prevents us from being victorious, or a stronghold can keep us in captivity when we in fact can be free. So the Apostle Paul is telling us that the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So that happens by renewing our minds with the Word of God and knowing the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. But we have to remove these strongholds. Otherwise, we can be in captivity, or worse, if we allow strongholds to continue. So I would suggest to your listeners that much of the body of Christ has succumbed in spiritual warfare, without realizing it, to a satanic stronghold. And that satanic stronghold is a false pessimism and a false belief system in pessimism regarding where we are right now in 2016 and where we're going. Now, I want to further define that because I don't want people to misunderstand me. I think it is correct to be pessimistic and vitally concerned and very sober-minded about where we're going as a nation. And I can understand, let's call it a legitimate pessimism, in the fact that if you analyze all the data and where we're going as a nation, an honest response would be to be pessimistic and highly concerned. So pessimism to a limited degree is simply an honest response to the facts before us. But when pessimism becomes a stronghold, it clouds our mind from seeing the power and the reality of what Jesus can do. So let me make it very precise. The stronghold, which I believe is satanic in nature, that's erected in the minds of believers, is this all-encompassing pessimism that dominates our individual consciousness to the extent that we no longer can believe that it is possible for God to supernaturally intervene in America and the affairs of America and change the course of direction or enable us to win over the supernatural spiritual powers of darkness. When pessimism becomes so all-encompassing in our minds, and that may be pessimism regarding our own personal lives, what's possible for us, perhaps we're in trial or we're in captivity and we think, well, there's no way out. That's a stronghold of pessimism, which is not true, and it's a lie. And if you believe a lie, you're going to go down with the lie. But the body of Christ collectively in America can make an error in two ways. They can have false hope, which comes from denying reality, and you just think everything's wonderful because you're ignorant, or you can have an all-encompassing pessimism which takes control of your mind and produces a paralysis of action and thought where you think, well, and I don't want to get into it because I point out evidences of the stronghold in my book. One common one is that, these are the last days. Evildoers are getting worse and worse. There's nothing we can do for America.
I think you just got cut off there.
Yeah.
Phone died.
Either that or we just went deaf.
No, I think his phone died, which will get him right back, sure. And such an interesting show. It's always interesting when Paul comes on, and always different. But always very content rich and intense.
You know what, folks? I was talking with we're working on getting Paul back. Let me just remind everyone that the Babylon Code, number one selling prophecy book in the world right now, according to Amazon, Prophecy of the Future of America, 2016-2017. This is...
Can't wait to read that.
This is perhaps one of the most powerful books that Paul has ever written and is in the process of writing, that we ask that the intercessors out there please pray intercessory prayer for Paul to complete the book. The Lord, after talking with Paul, and I don't think he'd mind me sharing this, certainly the Lord has opened all sorts of doors and truths to him, and this is going to be such a powerful and extremely intense book, folks. That's a Prophecy of the Future of America, 2016-2017. Even if you own a Prophecy of the Future of America, this one, folks, is going to be totally different. We have Paul back. Paul, sir, go ahead.
Yeah, I appreciate those words. like I was talking earlier about the burden I have over this book. It's like giving birth. But the other burden relates to this issue of a stronghold in the mind of the body of Christ that I believe has been energized and erected by the powers of darkness. And that produces a false fatalism where you say there's nothing I can do, it's hopeless. Now, if you're saying there's nothing I can do, it's hopeless, either in regards to your personal life or collectively in our response to what's happening in America, that's a stronghold that needs to be torn down by the Word of God. And I don't want to get into all the specifics of people's rationalizations. See, people rationalize or justify the existence of a stronghold in terms of all-encompassing pessimism. They say, well, they take Bible prophecy out of context. For example, they'll say it's the last days, evildoers will get worse and worse, there's nothing that we can do. Well, that's a partial truth, but it's taken out of context, because Jesus Christ said that we're to occupy until he comes. Now, Jesus Christ would not have told us to occupy until he comes if it were not possible for us to occupy. And occupying means taking the territory that God's given us. The Pilgrims and Puritans entered into a covenant with God when they founded this nation. And the reason we've been the recipient of unprecedented blessing in this nation is because of the covenant. America has a very unique plan for America. God has a unique plan for America. But whether we hit the target of that or not is up to us and his people. Now, again, I'm not taking Bible prophecy out of context. When I talk about a third great awakening, I mean it in a biblical sense. There's a lot of people using that term right now, and they mean it in a new age or humanistic sense. I mean it in a biblical sense, or revival. I mean it in a biblical sense. I'm not talking about Christian reconstructionism or God, you know, making America a utopia. I'm not talking about that. It's temporal. Eventually, Bible prophecy will come to pass, and we will move into the prophesied and predicted one world government, one world religion, and one world economic system under Antichrist and the false prophet with the mark of the beast and so on. I mean, that will happen in the future, but it has not happened yet. And therefore, we can't, just because we want to take Bible prophecy out of context, we can't artificially accelerate where we really are in time and say, we're in the period of the Antichrist, because we're not in the period of the Antichrist yet. We're not there yet. And because we're not there yet, we're in a place in time where God has given us a window of opportunity to make changes. They may be temporal, but we can make changes regarding our future. And people act like, well, gee, we can't change the future. Sure you can. You can change the future in your own personal life. You can decide to brush your teeth, and then you won't have to have five cavities filled when you go to the dentist in 6 months. You can decide to lose weight, and you'll probably live longer. You can decide to change the oil in your car, and guess what? You might get another 50,000 miles on how long you can drive your car. So, yeah, you can change the future within God's parameters. You know, you can eat healthy all you want, but you'll eventually die. But you can change the future. I mean, God's people can change the future within God's parameters. Now, let's get down to what's happening now. We're in the greatest crisis we've ever been. The stakes have never been higher. If we don't use the God-given opportunities that he has given us by his grace, we will end up in a totalitarian state. That is a mathematical guarantee. If we continue on as we have been continuing on, if the Church of Jesus Christ in America continues on the path that it is currently on, and we as individual Christians, with the exception of a remnant, continue on the path that we've been presently on, we're going to go into a totalitarian state with third world, if we're lucky at all, economic conditions, a total loss of freedoms. And it's going to be America could be a very ugly and nightmarish place to live. Now, I don't believe that that's the will of God. But God, because he's holy, can only release his supernatural power and give us supernatural intervention if we operate according to his laws, because God restrains himself on the basis of his own laws about how he's going to release his supernatural power, or how and to what degree he will supernaturally intervene. Because God is loving, yes, but God's also holy and righteous. So if the short circuit problem between the power of God coming down from heaven into the earth, which is what they experienced on the day of Pentecost, is due to sin and unbelief and not being in a right relationship with God, then in order for God to send his power down on America and to supernaturally intervene, there has to be repentance of the sin, and then intercessors need to pray and ask God forgiveness over those sins on behalf of those that are not. That's called spiritual warfare. So, we have this election coming up. Now, it's important that people realize that it is extremely important who becomes president, but it is not who becomes president that will ultimate, or which political party that's in office, that will not ultimately determine our fate or future. That is a physical representation of partially what will determine our future, but ultimately it is God that determines our future. And so the president we elect is an important part. It's important that we elect the right president, and that means having the wisdom of God and doing some homework, practical homework. That's of paramount importance. But ultimately, whoever is elected, we want the person that God wants. We want men and women in office that are going to elect godly policies, preserve our freedoms, enact sound economic programs, and so on and so forth. But whoever is elected, and the politicians that go in office, and what happens in terms of economic policies and trade treaties, and what happens in terms of immigration or migration, and all these other things emerge as a consequence of the release of the power of God, or the lack of release of the power of God. In other words, what I'm saying is that our physical reality is a holographic projection produced by, do we seek God and appropriate his power, or do we reject God as Adam and Eve did and activate a curse like the law of sin and death? Deuteronomy 28 spells it out very clearly. There's a list of blessings and curses that come upon the people of God that are contingent on two things. Are they worshiping idols, or are they worshiping the true God? And are they diligently obeying the voice of the Lord thy God? If they diligently obey the word of God, and if they worship the true God instead of idols, God promises all these blessings. If they reject the word of God and they worship idols, God promises all these curses. So what we see economically, what we see in terms of the preservation of our rights in the Constitution, what we see in terms of freedom of Christianity, freedom of speech, this is all contingent upon a foundation. And that foundation, once again, is this. Are we releasing the supernatural power of God in all of its force in our nation at this present moment? Or are we cutting off the switch of God's power? And are we, by our actions, causing a vacuum or an absence of the power of God in our nation? Because if we are collectively causing a vacuum of the power and presence of God in our nation, the demonic will take control. The forces of death and destruction and evil will manifest and triumph because there's an absence or a vacuum of the power of God being released in our nation. Conversely, if we release the power of God in our nation, what will come to the surface is not the demonic, is not the destructive, but there will be a measured amount of restoration. There will be the release of economic prosperity to whatever degree the Lord allows it, and there will be the continued preservation of freedom to the degree that the Lord allows it. But it either goes one way or the other, and it's totally contingent on the release of the power of God and supernatural intervention, or if we continue on in activities and a mindset where we create a vacuum where there is no entrance of the power of God in our nation, we will see death and the demonic take over. So we need to apply it to where we are right now at this moment and this radio program. Because, see, we're not talking, this is not theoretical, it's not speculative, it's not theological. What this all boils down to is this moment in time, this minute in time, this second in time. And at this second in time, as I have said on earlier programs with you, at this very second in time, there are a number of things going on. First and foremost, in the kingdom of heaven, God Almighty is sitting on his throne, and Jesus Christ presently is, in the present tense, at this second, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he is being worshipped in the throne room of the universe by countless millions of people and angels who are worshipping him. And this throne is magnificent in terms of its structure and its color. It looks like a rainbow. It's iridescent. It's composed of these incredible colors and energy. And the King of Kings, he glows with this intensity that he looks like the sun. And they're worshiping him right at this moment as we're talking. We're having this conversation, and then simultaneously in a parallel universe called the Kingdom of Heaven, they are worshiping him by the millions. And they're saying, "Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb upon the throne." They're worshiping him in another dimension simultaneously. At the same second that we're having this conversation, they are worshiping the Lamb upon the throne. Now, why are these two things happening simultaneously? We're having this conversation, which is you, me, and countless, who knows how many, hundreds of thousands of people listening in time delay or in real time to your program, the Hagman and Hagman Report. But simultaneously, at this very second, they are worshiping the Lamb upon the throne. Now, I ask your listener to recall from the Word of God what that means. It means that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is just that, he who he says he is. He is the great I Am. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He sits right now on the throne room of the universe. And he has it at his disposal, his incredible supernatural power, but he also has at his disposal hundreds of millions of angels organized in the angelic armies of Almighty God, and he can release the angelic armies of Almighty God to descend upon any geographic location on planet Earth that he chooses, including America, which is in desperate need of, because the armies of demons are occupying all kinds of territory in America currently. In addition, God raised up from the day of Pentecost his church, his supernatural body, and when he sent power from on high on the day of Pentecost and flooded the disciples and the apostles with the dunamis power of God, power from on high, it was only then after the dunamis power from on high filled the apostles and the disciples in the early church, it was only then, at that second, that the church exploded into being and the church was able to be the church. In other words, prior to the power from on high being released into the church couldn't have done anything. But when the church received power from on high, it dislodged the illegal occupation of Satan and his demonic forces in any territory the church moved into, because we've been given the power to tread upon scorpions and serpents. That's authority over the demonic powers. But unless we, as the body of Christ, do two things. Number one, we have to repent, because it says in the book of Acts, when Peter was preaching, he said, "Repent." And they were cut to the core of their being as the Spirit of God moved upon their hearts. They had to repent, and they had to be willing to receive power from on high, and then they had to be willing to obey God And when you obey God, you move out and you take the territory that God's called you to take. Well, our territory is obvious. It's America. America is under jeopardy of being seized and taken down by the powers of darkness. So at this moment, the King of Kings is sitting on the throne room of God. We're speaking simultaneously on this radio program. And listening to this program are massive numbers of people who have the Holy Spirit of God living inside them. And because they have the Holy Spirit of God living inside them, they are the true members of the supernatural body of Christ. And so at any moment that the true members of the body of Christ decide to obey God's word, which should be now at this second, and come into agreement, and whatever they ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven, and where two or more of you agree on earth, there I am in the midst of you. Whatever we ask in Jesus' name will be done for us by our Father who is in heaven. But our Father who is in heaven is not sitting idly by. Jesus is on the right side of the Father, and he's ruling and reign in heaven. And they're not sitting there in a frozen state. They're sitting there in an active state. In fact, I would suggest to you that at this very moment, if we could peer into the throne room of heaven, I would suggest to you that at this moment there is silence in heaven, and that the ear of God, the ear of Almighty God, is predisposed to listen in on the fellowship we are conducting right now over the airwaves. And the ear of God is listening intently and carefully, and the ear of God is waiting to hear whether or not we will obey his word and pray a prayer that he can hear in obedience to his directive in the word of God, where we will agree on earth and ask him for his supernatural intervention. I would suggest to you that the Lord has been waiting since before the beginning of time for us to act in this moment of time to invite him in to supernaturally intervene in America. So could I lead us in a brief prayer?
Of course.
Absolutely.
Lord, we thank you that the kingdom of heaven is not a matter of talk, but it is of power. And Lord, we thank you that we are dealing with realities that are far more real than our physical dimension. And we thank you, Lord, that there are countless numbers of people who have the Holy Spirit of God living inside them, and that they are responding to the moving and the direction of the Spirit of God, which is the Spirit of truth inside them. So, Lord, we make the decision by faith to obey your word. And, Lord, first of all, we are not righteous in and of ourselves to ask you for anything. So we begin with asking you to forgive us for where we fall short, for where we have sinned, both in our own personal lives and collectively, and for the church in America. Forgive us, Jesus, for where we have missed the mark. Forgive us for how we have sinned. And cleanse us with your blood now, in the name of Jesus, Lord. And Father, no matter what sin has occurred or been done, it's been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb right now in Jesus' name. So every one of us is qualified to take the next step, which is to come boldly to the throne of grace. And Father, we receive your gift of righteousness by faith. And right now, countless numbers of us make the decision by faith to come boldly to the throne of grace, where we are promised an ever-present help in time of need. And Lord, at this moment, we give you America. We give you our lives, our families, our children, our future. We give you everything that we're facing as a nation and the church is facing, God. And Father, we repent because we admit to you, Almighty God, as King Josiah did, that we're in the trouble we're in because we have disobeyed you, either individually or collectively. We have not listened to your word. We have disobeyed your word, and that is why we're in the dilemma that we're in. We repent of that, and we repent of what we've done collectively, Father, and ask that you would give us mercy and cleanse us with your blood. Father, we ask you on the basis of the blood of Jesus Christ and the promise of your word, we ask you now, as we move into the Super Tuesday election season, this election year, and regarding all the forces and decisions that need to be made in America, we ask God, we stand on your word, where it says, where two or more of us agree on earth as touching anything, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. Lord, we exercise the keys of the kingdom by faith, and we ask God in Jesus' name that right now, at this second, you would supernaturally intervene. We ask that you would fill us with power from on high so that we can do and carry out the mission that you called us to do before the beginning of time. Fill your people, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, with power from on high. Let every single person who doubts or who has intellectual or theological questions, let them be suspended for the moment and let them have childlike faith. And we ask now in Jesus' name that you would fill us with power from on high so that we can accomplish what you called us to accomplish. And God, we ask that you would supernaturally intervene in the affairs of our nation. Father, let your strong hand of righteousness, let your angelic armies descend in immeasurable number, Father. Let the angelic armies descend upon America in numbers that exceed our imagination. Let your angelic armies descend now, God, in the name of Jesus, and let your power descend upon America as it did during the time of the first Great Awakening. Set your people on fire with the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, your word says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, which he has, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against them. Father, we ask that your angelic armies and your power and the Spirit of God operating in your church with power from on high would turn the battle. We ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would turn the tide of the spiritual battle. We ask, Father, for your mercy, that you would put in men and women in office that will serve you and your will. Do not give us the, we ask God that you would not give us the leaders that we deserve. Give us the leaders that we ask for on the basis of grace. Give us righteous leaders. Lord, preserve freedom, preserve prosperity, preserve this nation, Father, so that we might fulfill your call for us as individuals and as a nation, not because we deserve it. We appeal. We make this appeal to you, God, Almighty God, on the basis of grace and on the basis of the blood of Jesus Christ. And Father, by faith, we ask you to do this, and we thank you for it, God. We thank you for answering our prayer, and we thank you, God, that you are moving with your power now, Lord. Father, we thank you that power from on high is descending into every heart listening. Power from on high is descending upon America, Father, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we know that power from on high is descending because in every heart that is listening, that has the Holy Spirit inside them, to every individual who is in a right relationship with you and not blinded by carnality or prejudice, the Spirit of God in them is resonating and bearing witness, Father, that what we have prayed is in accordance to your will, in accordance to your word, and in truth. We thank you for doing it, and we thank you for the supernatural strengthening and grace that is being poured out upon us and upon our nation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. And folks, with Paul's appearance in his teachings, I mean, we are being given... God is opening up the intellect and understanding of people listening to this broadcast, making it possible to hear very strongly the Holy Spirit, the call to bring down the architects of evil, or at least push off the architects of evil. We know what their agenda is, but through knowledge, through information, but most importantly, prayer, we can make a difference and bring others to salvation in this time of relative quietness. And Paul, I think you said the silence in heaven, but let's not squander this time. We are not given, and this is just, as you said, and I'm echoing this, we're not given to a spirit of futility or fatality. We are given to a spirit of fighting and educating and understanding, and well, we need to saddle for battle. That's what we need to do, I believe. And we are called to stand in the gap, play our position, read our own mail, follow the instructions given to us, because each and every one of us were born for this time, for this moment in time. And if we don't understand what our job is, we must try to. And if we don't play our positions, if we'd rather sit on the couch and play, what, Pac-Man or whatever. Eric's laughing because I guess that's not whatever, you know.
we play Pac-Man together on the weekends.
I guess that's not we don't play that anymore. I don't know, but you know what? And I know obviously that's humorous, but you know, and it's my call to our listeners, to embrace Paul McGuire in intercessory prayer, so he can move on, continue being the tip of the spear, and to educate all of us, and to remind each and every one of us that why we are here, and we are not going to. Well, we know how the story ends. We know we're fighting from a position of victory. Let's not squander what we've been given. Let's stand up. Let's be counted. Let's put our name on the line. Let's just again saddle for battle. Let's rock and roll, people. Well, maybe not rock and roll, but you get it.
All right. But amen. You know, the thing is, like, if God did not want us to do this, he wouldn't have given us the opportunity. So the very fact that we can discuss this, we can pray for it, and we have whatever opportunities we have left are all evidence of the fact is that God wants us to use it. And more importantly, that's what his word says. Occupy until I come. I mean, we're here. We've been given a divine assignment, and that divine assignment is not to be in a state of paralysis or, you know, knocked out through despair and pessimism. And I just want to add, like this note of, counsel, if you will. You know, a lot of people wonder, gee, why isn't my life working? Why does God not bless my business or bless this? Or why aren't things moving the way they should? And let me just share this brief principle. When you get engaged with what God is calling you to get engaged with, when you step into this spiritual battle, when you make yourself willing to obey him and get involved with stuff larger than your personal life, when you take the burden for what's happening in America seriously and you begin to do something about it, when you begin to respond and throw your energies and your finances and your life and your prayers to whatever degree you have them, God has a very funny, strange way of watching your back and taking care of your needs. And all of a sudden you discover that when you get yourself aligned with what God is concerned about, he lifts the oppression. He sends his resources. He sends his healing. But he doesn't send it to those people who sit on the couch and criticize everybody else. And he doesn't send it to those people who do nothing. And, you know, you might not like the way that I'm doing it. You may think you can do a better job. Well, go for it and get up and do a better job. But God doesn't bless the person who does nothing. You know, I don't claim to be perfect, but I claim to be available. And I don't even claim to be good at being available half the time. You know what I'm saying? So at least I showed up. You may not like how I fought the battle, but for crying out loud, you, me, and many of the other listeners, at least we showed up for the battle.
Right. Sitting on your couch and watching TV all day does not equal occupying.
And it amazes me,
exactly,
Paul.
Exactly right.
Yeah, that's
I mean,
true.
It does in a sense, but not in the biblical sense.
Right. And it amazes me.
Right.
I'll only say this one time, because I don't want to turn negative here, but, you know, to those people who sit there and to criticize and to say, you know, just to criticize and to operate blogs and websites and that are dedicated to taking down, fragging the brethren. You know, I just beseech you, turn your efforts into something more positive. Instead of taking others down, do it yourself. Do it better than us.
Or present your issues, concerns with brotherly love, coming from a position of caring about the end result, not just doing it to complain and tear down, but
right.
If you really care about what you're complaining about, then offer, you know, constructive criticism in a loving manner.
But you know, I say that internally here to our people, Paul, a rising tide lifts all boats. And, you know, I mean that on an internal basis here, but if we look at this and if we uplift one another instead of tearing others down, uplift one another, wouldn't that be great? And if you can do a better job, do it. As you said, Paul, do it, and do it with as much intensity and love for God as possible. That's what we need. We need to come together. 2016, time is short. Let's not squander it. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, right. Well, time is short. I mean, 2016, we've already entered into it, and it's going to be over before we know it. And this, you know, every time, you know, there's strategies and there's opportunities, and most people have been alive long enough to know that when you have a divine opportunity or an opportunity, the wise person takes advantage of the opportunity. God is giving us, because of his grace, an opportunity to change our nation to whatever degree he chooses. And he will, but he requires something of us. And, you know, what you said about those people who just, like, criticize others, you know, I feel sorry for them because they have allowed for whatever reason, they've allowed themselves to be deceived. God isn't mocked. Whatever a man soweth, that which he also will reap. So, you know, you think, well, I'm the all-knowing one. You know, I'm the one who can criticize and tear down and whatever everybody else. Well, the only problem with that is that if you are a believer, you're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, as I am. And, you know, God knows me and my motives, and God knows everybody who's listening and their motives. And what we did for self or vanity or ego or pride, it's going to be burned up like wood, hay, and stubble. And what we did for God, we will be rewarded with. And so, you know, some people say, well, Paul, this, and another. God knows how to take care of Paul McGuire. God knows how to humble me. God knows how to deal with me. And if God isn't happy with me, he's going to let me into heaven, but I'll be at the whipping post at the judgment seat of Christ. So quit worrying about me and start worrying about yourself.
There you go.
And like you said, if you can do a better job, do it. You know, I don't claim to be the all-knowing one. The all-knowing one is sitting in the throne room. I'm just down here on earth doing the best I can.
Amen. And in closing, we only have about 90 seconds left of this program, and it just went so quickly. I just want to, again, thank you, most distinguished professor at the Hagman and Hagman College of Knowledge. Well, I'm kidding, but one thing.
Hey, I like it. I accept it. I accept the degree, man.
Well, one thing that I do want to ask all of our listeners is subsequent to our program tonight, please, let's all lift up Paul McGuire in prayer and act as intercessors on his behalf and to pray that he, for his safety, for his productivity in finishing, in getting the word out with respect to Prophecy of the Future of America 2016-2017. And folks, pre-order on his website, and certainly spread the word about the Babylon Code. Let's make that a number one bestseller in the New York Times. Please, let's do that, and let's give it all, you know, behind Paul McGuire, because he is a treasure of a man. I am so proud to be able to call him my friend, my brother, and I know Joe is too.
Yeah, and can't wait to see him again in Dallas.
Yes.
We always have fun when we get together.
We always have fun. Gentlemen, it's it's a blessing and honor to be on your program. So,
thank you.
I believe we did what the Lord wanted us to do. That's the most important thing tonight.
Amen, sir. And please give our best to your lovely wife and tell her thank you so much for sharing you with us. God bless you, Paul.
I will. God bless you guys. Bye bye.
All right.
Have a good night.
Wow, Joe, what a great program.
Yes, it was.
You know, and I'll tell you something. I just, real quick, and then I'm going to turn it over to you. I just want to say thank you to each and every individual listening out there. I want to say thank you, Eric. Thank you, JD. Thank you, Rhonda. Thank you, Joe. I want to thank my wife and my family for standing behind me. Thank you, Paul McGuire.
Yeah, I just want to thank our listening audience and everybody out there who supports us with prayers. or with kind words and spreading the word about the show. Right. God bless each and every one of you.
Thank you, Global Star. What a great job.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.